You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing. We just got to listen to this for 1 sec. Ella Fitzgerald covering Jingle Bells on her 1960 album, Ella Wishes You a Swinging Christmas. Something about classic Christmas songs that just, they stick, don't they? Well, did you know that some of the most well-known tunes actually have New England ties? We talked with Joe Bennett about that in 2021. He is a professor at Berklee College of Music who studied the history of Christmas music, and we wanted to bring part of that to you today, beginning with a controversy over whether Jingle Bells was written in Medford.
Well, controversy is right. I believe that in Medford they actually have a plaque saying that Jingle Bells was written here, and it was witnessed by this member of the community, and it was on this exact date in 1850. So the composer, James Pierpont, some people do believe that he wrote it out in Medford, Mass. But I believe there is an equivalent plaque in Savannah, Georgia.
Savannah?
I know, right? How un-Christmassy.
Where they shush through the snow so often.
Well, exactly. I don't know if he was inspired by the weather, if that's where he was when he wrote it. But history does record, of course, that that James Pierpont was a Massachusetts resident, spent a lot of his working life here, but he also traveled around a little bit. So I don't think we'll ever really know where physically the song was written, but we do know that it was premiered in Boston in 1857.
There you go. That's good enough for me. I'm going to be a complete homer on this stuff. I'm going to say that right now. And speaking of sleighs, here is another song with Massachusetts ties.
Just see those sleigh bells jingle and ring, tingle, tingling too. Come on, it's lovely weather for a sleigh ride together with you.
Joe, I gotta ask you, are you boogieing while we're playing these songs? Because I am in the studio
course.
And I have to wiggle.
You've got to shake that thing at this time
That's
of year.
Right. Sleigh Ride there, covered by the Ronettes off their 1963 record, A Christmas Gift to You, and apparently written in Cambridge, Joe.
Yes, it was written much more recently than Jingle Bells. It was written in 1948. And as I'm sure every Bostonian knows, it's become a sort of staple of the Boston Pops Orchestra, who actually premiered it under Arthur Fiedler at the time. And then the lyrics were added just a couple of years later in 1950. And it's just remained a staple year after year.
I want to take a listen now to the song Silver Bells and versions that have changed over the decades.
Silver bells, silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city.
Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling.
Hear them ring.
So you've got Doris Day there, Elvis Presley, and then Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And, of course, we'll have all these songs listed on our website at radioboston.org. Normally, if I hear a song that I like, I get grumpy if somebody covers it, Joe. I'm assuming the original is the best, and that's the one I want. But with Christmas songs, we want to hear 50 different versions of them. Why are they so ripe to be covered?
Yeah, I think it's because they are in the popular consciousness, and sort of everybody knows them. So that very familiarity gives people gives artists a sort of a leg up that they're creating a song that people already have some affection for. And I was listening to Christmas Baby, Please Come Home, the classic by Darlene Love, which was on the Phil Spector album that you mentioned, but it was also a terrific, relatively contemporary version from 2004 by Death Cab for Cutie.
Oh yeah,
who did a really great job on it. So yes, I think it's the songs are so well known that it's relatively easy for an artist who genuinely wants to sincerely cover them to do a great job.
All right, so now I want to pivot in two ways. First, I want to take us back to a song with New England roots, and I want to take us out of Christmas explicitly, although many of our favorite holiday tunes have entered pop culture for people well beyond those who are Christian and celebrate Christmas. But this one is arguably maybe Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Here we go. Over the river and through the woods to Grandfather's house we go.
And I'm sorry, folks, I should not have done an Elvin version without telling you that Elvin and the Chipmunks were coming first. Obviously, many other versions of that as well. But the song was inspired by a poem by the same name, and I understand that was written in Medford, Joe. Is that correct?
Yes, so I understand, though I have to say, as a relatively recent immigrant to the US, as a Brit, it wasn't on my radar at all until I landed in this country. And then I realized just how important a song it is to everyone in New England. Although I think there is some debate of whether it's actually a Christmas song or a Thanksgiving song. And my understanding is people can kind of insert either version of the lyrics according to their need.
What's on your playlist? So last night, my daughter came home from college just for the evening. So I have teenagers, always interesting to try to get four adults and young adults with different musical tastes to put together a playlist for Christmas. And we had a great variety on there. What's on yours? What speaks to you the most, Joe?
Well, personally, I do have a favorite Christmas song, and it's, you know, I'm not personally a believer. I don't have any specific religion of my own. So for that, I feel that the song that does it for me the most in terms of lyric theme is Tim Minchin's song White Wine in the Sun. And he's actually an Australian songwriter, and the song is about taking his baby daughter home to see the family at Christmas. It opens with this lovely line, "I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it." And then he just carries on stating all of the hypocrisies around Christmas, the commercialization, and he talks about tax-exempt church organizations, but he still confesses that he loves that feeling of homecoming with this chorus. "I'll be seeing my dad, my brothers and sisters, my gran and my mum, they'll be drinking white wine in the sun."
Let's hear a little bit of it.
"I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I'm hardly religious.
And there is something about the fact that a song, to be really sticky, has to speak to you personally. It can't just be that you hear it on the radio every year or at the mall every December, Joe, right? It's got to speak to you.
Well, I think you can argue that both ways, that yes, that particular one for me really speaks to me and my sort of personal beliefs and my own attitudes. And everyone has their own like that, I think. But there is something about those songs that are on at the mall. You know, they're done to death and they're over-repeated, of course, every year. Particularly, of course, Mariah Carey's "All I Want for Christmas Is You." But it puts you there. It reminds you of Christmas's past. And I think that's why we don't demand from our holiday music the newness, the endless reinvigoration that we require from our pop music. No one wants to hear last year's pop hit compared to last year's Christmas song, which we are happy to hear over and over again.
Joe Bennett of Berklee College of Music spoke with us in 2021. And of course, we've got Mariah, "All I Want for Christmas Is You."